Hear the word of God as is written in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, read from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Now I'm going to ask you to pray as we come and learn the Bible. Father, you have spoken in the Bible. And what a privilege we have now as a little church to put aside everything else and to listen to what you want to say to us. I pray that you'd help me in my inadequacy to present it clearly, that everyone may understand. And Lord, at the end of this time, learn to know you and to love you more. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. My dear friends, you all know that in the month of January, every one of our services, all three, we are going systematically through 2 Peter. And the reason why we are doing this is because it's the most relevant letter for today. It was written to Christians facing enormous challenges and enormous problems, and he shows them how to live for God no matter what the situation is. And in verses 1 to 9, you will remember that we have shown you what Martin Lloyd-Jones calls one of the most amazing passages in the New Testament, where Peter describes our salvation. He has described how God and his grace has reached down into our lives, and how we then respond by adding to our faith, and we went through those things with you last Sunday. But what we do this morning in verse 10 and verse 11 is another important issue, and it is this. How do I know that I'm really a Christian? How do I know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, I'll be ready? How do I have assurance? You've all heard of Joseph Carlyle. He wrote these words when he said, "The greatest thing that we can desire next to the glory of God is our salvation. But the sweetest thing that we can desire is the assurance of our salvation. That when you and our friends are able to stand up and sing from the heart and with absolute conviction, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's a wonderful thing that. When you have assurance, it changes your life. In our library here, we've got some books by a man called J.C. Ryle. He was the Bishop of Liverpool many years ago, and he wrote these words. He says, assurance makes us patient in tribulation, calm under bereavement, unmoved in sorrow, not afraid of evil tidings, in every condition content, because it gives him a fixedness of heart. It makes him always feel that he is something solid beneath his feet, something firm under his hands, a sure friend along the way, and a wonderful home at the end. Do you know what, friends? Assurance is the most wonderful thing to have and to enjoy. Just one other man was the Puritan, Thomas Watson. He said assurance makes us active and lively in the service of God. It excites prayer and quickens obedience. Faith makes us walk, but assurance makes us run. And it makes us think that we can never do enough for God. Assurance makes a man fervent, constant, and abundant in the work of the Lord. When the assured Christian has done one work, he's calling out for another. You see, assurance is very important for you. So what I want to do with you this morning, if I may, is to show you three things with assurance. I want to show you what God does for your assurance. Then we're going to see your work for assurance. And then thirdly, the results. Very easy. What does God do? What do we do? And what is the result? Right, you got it there? Follow verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. So let's ask ourselves today, what does God do? Perhaps better, what has God done for you and for me? Peter, as you have picked up in the previous few verses, always goes back to God. Before he tells us to do anything, always goes back to God first. So we respond to God. Now, Peter makes clear there in verse 10 that God has done two things for us. God's work in assurance. Number one, he has called you. Calling. I can't think this morning, dear friends, of any more humbling doctrine in the Bible than this. You can now understand why there's no room ever in a Christian's life for pride or self-sufficiency. It knocks it all out. Because you become aware that I am what I am by the grace of God alone, and all that I ever will be. And it begins with the call. Think of your life just for a moment. All of us. Me, the worst of all. We were, as the Bible calls it, on a broad road. That's where we were. On a broad road, spiritually, all of us were dead. We couldn't hear God. We couldn't speak. We couldn't do. We were deaf. We were dumb, completely spiritually speaking. We may put men on the moon. We may make fantastic feats at sport. We may compose magnificent music. But there's one thing man cannot do, he cannot turn to God. We are dead. So God must take the initiative. And that's what he did to you and what he did to me, says Peter. And he came and he called you. He came by his Spirit. You may have been reading the Bible, or you may have been listening to a sermon, or you may have been sharing with friends. It doesn't matter what the situation was. The bottom line is that the Holy Spirit of God came to you like Lydia, and he opened your heart. He gave you the ability to turn to Christ and to put your faith in Christ and to turn away from your old life and to turn to him. He called you. Just like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, remember that? Come down. Or Saul. Saul, Saul. Called him by name. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. My little life was on the 5th of May, 1967. I was at a Youth for Christ meeting in Springs. I'd been at a Christian school all my life and thought I was a Christian. And for the very first time, I heard about Jesus and I heard the gospel. With my younger sister, who's now in heaven, Bev and I walked down the aisle and we gave our lives to Christ. Turned my life inside out, upside down, 42 years ago now. I thought I was right with God, but I was spiritually without hope. And one day, God called. You know, you became a Christian, my friend, because God called you. Number two, says Peter, to make your calling and election sure. Why did God call you? Because you were elected by God. How do you understand that? It's beyond all human understanding. That God in his grace and mercy and love and compassion could come to you and to me, open our eyes, bring us to his Son, adopt us into his family. That's what it says. That's what we believe. Once he calls, it flows so nicely. You don't even have to push. You don't even have to force. You don't even have to urge. Wait for God. He works. And when he calls and he draws, that sinner comes and repents and turns to Christ and is converted. Then the Spirit of God continues that work and they change and they are molded and they transformed into the image of Christ. And then when the trials come and the heartaches come and the depression comes, God is with them. God will never, never, never let them go. He holds on to them, keeps them. And one day when that call comes, he takes them home. It's the assurance. It's not based on what I do. Or because I read the Bible, because I pray. No. Peter's got it right. Go back to God. What has God done? He has called you. And he's elected you. So you sit here in this beautiful church. We could be out there in the world chasing after money, chasing after sport, whatever else it may be. But we're not like that. Different goals, different standards. We're different. Why? God called me. God elected us. That's what God's done. Secondly, what do we do? What do we do? How do we now respond? What does it say? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and your election sure. So how do we respond to this, dear friends? We respond to God's mercy, kindness, and grace with zeal. That's how you respond. Lloyd Jones, you've all heard of him. Great preacher from Wales. He said, this is the New Testament method. Never just sit back and contemplate Christ. Go out and practice the Christian life. And it's a remarkable thing. But the more we do for him, the more certain we become of him. We are not justified by works. He is our only hope. But having understood that, the more you do, the more certain you will become. Those are lovely words, aren't they? So for any person that's come to the deep, deep awareness of what God through Jesus has done for us on the cross, how do we respond? Come to Jesus and say, Lord, it's not my life anymore. I have been crucified with Christ. Doesn't matter, I die. We die to all our souls and all our own desires. I have been crucified with Christ, he said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Forgive me for just a minute. But every day in my little life, I read this book. It's a bit tattered now, but it's gold. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. And just this morning's reading, on January the 18th, he wrote these words. It just was such a challenge to me. He said this: we should be pouring out our lives, spending them to the last limit, not drawing on Christ to satisfy us. You will be witnesses to me, which means that we live a life of unsullied, uncompromising, and unbridled devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And be very careful of anything that competes with loyalty to Christ. Lovely words. Be eager. So how do I respond? I say, Lord, how can I know the Bible better? I get to where I can learn the Bible. How can I pray better? And I get to where I want to pray better. What can I do to serve you? Maybe you're in retirement. My brother Peter and Ian Stead is joining us this week. Both in retirement. Isn't that wonderful? See? Just saying, I want to serve Jesus Christ. They're young people. There's Ovarian, Chico, and Shalane. Here's a middle of the range. Don't see him do him, say. Here I am, Lord. 1 year minimum. The more you do, precious friends, the more eager, says Peter, the more eager you are, the more assurance you're going to have. But a lot of people are not sure because spiritually they do nothing. Very seldom do they learn the Bible. Very seldom do they pray. They are really not involved in anything. And they wonder why others shine, not themselves. So what does God do? What do I do? And just lastly, and we're on our way, what are the results? See, then, got it there, and then we finish that section. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's going to happen to you, my dear friends? Number one, you will never fall. Praise God for that. Isn't that encouraging? You will never fall. Are you still awake? That should encourage you. You see, when God begins a work, God continues the work. Never stops working. Never lets us go. It holds on to us. We respond and we're passionate in that desire. And so he says, you will never fall. Michael Green, you've all heard of Michael Green in the Tyndale series, put it nicely when he wrote, a life of steady progress will characterize a Christian. His radiant life will become a silent proof of his election. Isn't that nice? We often sing our benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep. So here you have somebody that's conscious of what God has done. They respond to God's grace with zeal and passion. They will never fall away. Never. If they do, then they were never saved. But God's people steady progress. You will never, never fall if you do these things. It is right. It's conditional. And secondly, you will receive a rich welcome into his eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone very kindly, I didn't deserve it, gave me a lovely book. It's about 40, I would say, very short biographies of the great men and women through the church history, but focusing on how they lived their last day of their lives in preparation for death. It's been fantastic reading. You see, someone who's assured looks forward to death. Why? Because they are going to receive not only a rich welcome, but they are going to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are conscious of an eternal kingdom that's waiting for us. It is there in the future. It's the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and when that final call comes, welcome. Welcome. Someone is told they've got terminal cancer. What do they need? They need assurance that one day it's waiting for me. Isn't that right? You see, when there's heartaches in life, and tragedies and loss and disappointment. What do I need? I need assurance that God is with me. God's going to bring me through. And one day, that Jesus will say to us, well done. Well done. Well done. You've been a good and you've been a faithful servant. And you know what, dear friends? That's what we want. More money? No, we don't want any more money. More success in the world? No, we don't want anything like that. What we do want is to hear Jesus say, well done. You've run well. You've been faithful. Well done! Now come and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you. All I ask you, friend, this morning is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Really? Really? I want to be a friend, that's all. If you are not sure, why not stay behind? It'll take 2 minutes. And here at this communion rail, I will kneel with you. And you say, Lord, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Maybe you've been coming here for many years, and I'm sure you're a Christian, but you lack assurance. You say, Lord, just pray for me. I want today, the 18th of January, to be a turning point. I can see what God has done. I can see what I've got to do so that I can receive this rich welcome. I'd love to pray with you. What we're going to do tonight in the next 2 verses is Peter is going to show us. Now listen, there are 3 things you must never forget. We'll touch on those. We'd love to have you if you can come and join us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. It's just humbling to see all that you've so mercifully done for us in Christ. And in response, we long to make our calling and election sure. Help us to be eager this year spiritually, not to just dawdle along, but help us to be effective, never to wander, never to grow cold, but a life of steady progress, becoming more godly, more humble, more loving. And we just commit one another to you and thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. Support us, we pray, with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.